It's Tuesday, November 3rd, and you're tuned in to Argus News Radio. News, culture, and life at Wesleyan University and beyond. I'm your host, Andrea Dominic. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. Argus News Radio is a collaboration between WESU-FM in Middletown and Wesleyan's student newspaper, The Argus. As always, let's kick off this week's show with a look at some of the past week's headlines. Last Tuesday, the university received 100 doses of the H1N1 vaccine from the Connecticut Department of Public Health. The university originally requested 1,000 doses. This gap actually reflects the widespread demand for the H1N1 vaccine that's causing shortages across the nation. A campus-wide email went out on Tuesday and notified students of the vaccine's arrival on campus. Initially, the university will only offer the vaccine to high-risk individuals ages 18 and under, as well as health center employees. The Connecticut Health Department currently designates both groups as priority populations. However, the director of the University Health Center, Joyce Walter, estimates that the Connecticut Department of Health will likely expand the high-risk population to include individuals between the ages of 19 and 24 in the near future. And it seems like those vaccines couldn't arrive fast enough. On Monday, October 26th, Middletown health and school officials decided to close Keegan Middle School for the remainder of the week due to the high number of students exhibiting influenza-like symptoms. According to Middletown School Superintendent Michael J. Fischetti, 40% of students were absent on Monday due to illness. City of Middletown Health Director Joseph Havlicek decided that the high rate of absences justified closing the school in order to mitigate the risk of spreading the H1N1 virus between students. St. John's School, a private K-8 Catholic school also located in Middletown, closed last week from Wednesday to Friday. Now, there are a lot of associations people make when they hear the name Wesleyan University. Nudity, extreme liberals, and hipsters, for example. Army training grounds, however, does not usually make the list. Up until last year, Wesleyan had never had a single student participate in the Reserve Officers Training Corps program, or the ROTC. But now, there are two. Sophomores Marty Buxton and Lowell Wood, both from North Carolina, take their Army ROTC courses with other college students at the Sacred Heart University in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and the University of Connecticut in Hartford. Many colleges around the country have their own ROTC programs, but due to low participation here, Wesleyan doesn't have one. Graduates of ROTC enter the Army after college as second lieutenants and are committed to 4 years of service. In exchange, the Army provides scholarships to pay for undergraduate education of the students in the program. Both trainees explain that they've been pleasantly surprised at how understanding their peers at Wesleyan have been to their participation in the program. Next up, it's contributor Abaya Steinmetz-Silber with a preview of Wesleyan's homecoming events for this weekend.
Well, how are you doing today? This is Abaya Steinmetz-Silber with the Wesleyan Sports Roundup. Our biggest newsmaker of late has been the men's soccer team, and this week they've only continued to impress. They closed out the season with a 2-0 victory over Conn College on Friday, earning the top seed in the NESCAC tournament. The team wrapped up its first undefeated regular season since 1940, with 10 wins, no losses, and 4 ties. The Cards then beat Colby on Sunday to win the first round of the playoffs, ensuring that Wesleyan will host the NESCAC Tournament Final Four on Saturday and Sunday, November 7th and 8th. Wesleyan will play 6-seeded Middlebury, while Williams and Bowdoin will face each other in the other semifinal game. The winners meet in a title match for an automatic bid to the NCAAs. A 29-yard touchdown catch by freshman Polly Lowther in the final seconds on Saturday made all the difference as the football team eked out a 43-39 victory over Bowdoin. Although Wesleyan entered the fourth quarter with a 36-18 lead, Bowdoin closed the gap and took a 39-36 edge with only a minute and 17 seconds to go. With only 37 seconds remaining, Lowther caught the 29-yard pass for a touchdown, which put Wesleyan in the lead for good. Women's volleyball won their final home game on Wednesday, beating Eastern Connecticut State University 3-0, but they lost in a tight match at Conn College on Friday in their final regular season game, 2-3. Women's soccer beat Conn College on Friday 3-0. On Sunday, they lost to Amherst in the opening round of the NESCAC tournament 1-2 in overtime. Women's cross country came in fourth of 11 teams in the NESCAC championship at Trinity College on Sunday, and men's cross country came in eighth of 11 teams. Also on Sunday, women's field hockey lost at Tufts in the NESCAC tournament. Tufts goes on to the NESCAC semis at Trinity. That's all for today. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much, Abaye. Next up is ANR's own Gianna Palmer. She sat down to talk talent with students Dylan Marin and Joe Firestone.
This is Gianna Palmer with Argus News Radio. I'm here with Dylan Marin and Joe Firestone, class of 2010 and 2009, respectively, the creators and performers of Ridgefield Middle School Talent Night. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
So I thought I'd start by asking you if you could just kind of, for those who may not know, talk a little bit about the play that you guys have written and are currently performing, how it came about, what it's like.
Joe and I were in Lunchbox together. Are in Lunchbox, Wesleyan Sketch Comedy Group. And we also did a play together in the fall of 08, fall of 07, and it was Oh Dad, Poor Dad. And we knew we really wanted to work together more and do stuff like that. And so, no, you want to take it from there.
What was the question?
And then Joe had the idea that we should maybe write a play together. And
so we applied through Second Stage, which is the student theater group here, where they give you money and space and supportive emotional
guidance. And at that point, did you know what sort of play you wanted to do?
Well, no. Dylan had an idea for a title. What was your title, Dylan?
I think the first working title was Tina Turner and the Featherettes.
But
and I wanted it to be biographical, and I would play Tina.
And the Featherettes.
And Joe would maybe be featured in the chorus.
Okay. Or the tech booth.
So when I saw Ridgefield Middle School Talent Night, it seemed to be a spoof of a middle school talent show. So how did you go from Tina Turner to middle school?
Well, I think we were looking for an idea that would work because we just wanted to work the two of us. We wanted to find a good setting for two actors and multiple character, and we figured middle school is something we know a lot about, and we decided that I think a middle school talent show would be like a really good way to have people coming in and out and having different characters, and so that's where it sort of started. And I guess we had that idea sort of in January of 09, and then we started writing through February and then March and did it in April.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess we chose middle school as opposed to like high school or elementary school or, you know, Wesleyan University Talent Night because middle school, I think we've kind of come to the conclusion that everyone's a freak in middle school. And I think it provides for some good source for some strong characters.
Right. Can you talk a little bit maybe about the characters or about everyone being a freak? What kind of freaks you have featured in
Lots of freaks featured. We have, who do we have? We have,
Well, we open the show, aside from the adult characters in the show, this show opens with a goth, young girl, woman.
Some Evanescence plays.
And it's funny because, you know, even though these characters are maybe very far away from who we are now, there's a lot of us that resonate, you know, like there's a lot of the characters that resonate with us.
And I found a cape in Dylan's closet.
The cape we use for Lynette was maybe from my phase when I wanted to be a witch but was too scared to be called a witch, so I made people call me a warlock. So
about Ridgefield Middle School Talent Night, back to
Ridgefield.
So just interject a little bit. Do you know how many characters? It's just the two of you performing it, but how many characters do you have featured in the play?
23, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And so getting back to it, so you have, it opens with Evanescence.
It opens with Lynette, the goth.
A.K.A. Madam Shadow.
A.K.A. who would like to be called Madam Shadow. And then we have...
We have a student council president who is a big fan of musical theater and the world that it promises. And then we have, let's see what, we have Jeff Bridges, not to be mistaken with Jeff Bridges, and
the actor.
And he issues a statement of apology for videotaping some what could be pornography footage.
Yeah, and then, I mean, we have a bunch of other characters. There's the daughter of the celebrity judge.
There's a celebrity
judge who, right, we should have said that that exists. And I don't know, it's really fun. It's really fun to play all these different characters. And what's also really cool is that, you know, the audience changes from night to night because mm-hmm. we don't have this steady place where we're doing it.
Right.
And so it's so nice that, like, if one character doesn't so much work with this audience, mm-hmm. that they might like a different character who never has right. really worked before.
Right. And so you were saying you have a different audience every night. So to explain a little bit, this semester, both of you are touring this play around the U.S. or around the New England area?
No,
primarily?
A little bit in the Midwest.
Midwest. Okay. So maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, some of the places you've performed and kind of also speak a little bit about the Financial Plaid Project.
So basically we're doing this show at different college campuses and a few places in New York too. And at the college campuses, what we're doing is we're covering travel expenses, but then all the profit we make from these performances, we're donating towards to financial aid at that school, the
okay.
hosting school. And
either
we're donating it towards financial aid or we're donating it to a student arts fund. The aim of the Financial Plaid Project is to kind of promote other student creative work and also support student arts funds and or financial aid in a time when a lot of that kind of funding is being cut by the recession. And
right.
So we were trying to find a way to do theater and do this theater that we made as students in a very, like, kind of trying to be more fiscally conscious, I
right.
guess.
Exactly. Because sure. I think, like, you know, just like really simply, we went into this wanting to keep doing the play.
Right.
But we understand that the city shows happen, you know, only so often, and mm-hmm. it's really, we're thrilled that we're getting them, but
right.
we
city shows meaning shows is theaters in New York
mm-hmm. like the Magnet Theater and mm-hmm. the Pit, the People's Improv Theater, which have been really good to us. But you know, there are lots of plays going on, lots of shows going on, and when they have slots they give it to us, and that's great. But we wanted to do this for college campuses,
right.
and it was, you know, you can't just bring a play that nobody knows about to a college campus and expect people to go.
Right.
But they're, like, I think there's this, like, growing trend to, like, bring art to places, but, like, socially conscious art and, like,
right.
ethical art, you
mm-hmm.
know, where, like, we're not looking to make a fortune off of this. We're looking
right.
to do it. We're looking to do it for people
right.
and meet people through it, you know?
Right.
And I mean, so far, it's been so fun and really nice to do.
That's great. And so the Financial Plaid Project, that's a term you came up with. When I went to the website, I thought maybe it was a pre-existing organization that you were going through. So, okay, there you have it.
Yeah, it's
started by Dylan and Joe.
Uh-huh.
It's a pun.
Joe is a fan of puns.
She's punny.
And I oblige.
I guess lastly, if you could speak a little bit about where you know, after this semester wraps up. I know, Dylan, you're taking a semester off right now, and we miss you dearly here at Wesleyan. You know, if you see this continuing in the future, where do you go from here, I suppose?
I think, we totally see it happening in the future, and the plan now is to come back next semester. But I would love to maybe do it once or twice still next
mm-hmm.
semester, so it's not this huge gap of time
right.
that we're not doing it in.
On Wesleyan's campus? Or
We plan to do a show on Wesleyan's campus at the beginning of next semester,
mm-hmm.
And unlike the other schools that we're doing on the financial aid project, when it's only the profits and not all of the proceeds that we donate to financial aid. I think at Wesleyan, because I will have access to food and a bed, we will donate all of the proceeds, 100% of the box office. So that should be really fun and exciting. And beyond that, I think we're just going to keep working on it. And I think we'd really like to write more together.
Wow. Thank you so much for coming in. It was great speaking to both of you.
Great speaking to you, too.
Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap for the November 3rd episode of Argus News Radio. Our fine staff are producers Sam Bernhard and Mary Longley, contributor Abaya Steinmetz-Silver, and contributor Gianna Palmer. You can catch us next week, same Argus time and same Argus place, here on WESU at 2:45 p.m. on Tuesdays. Or catch us online, anytime, on the Argus' website, www.wesleyanargus.com. As always, I'm your host, Andrea Dominic. You stay classy, Middletown.